You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're trying to help Gen Z men, young men, grow and mature in their faith. We're doing part two of a two-part series about, are you a hypocrite? And last week, I asked the question, are you walking in the darkness or are you walking in the light? And I told you the sad story about Bernard Madoff, who pulled off the largest Ponzi scheme in the history of the world by lying about the reported earnings of over $65 billion, where he had just embezzled all of this money and used it for his own personal pleasure. What a shame. And his life ended miserably. I mean, that again, I don't think that Bernie Madoff started his company with the intention of being a hypocrite, but it happened. And it also had great detrimental impact on all those who knew him. I mean, after 52 years of marriage, his wife divorced him once this all came out. One of his two sons committed suicide. His daughter-in-law divorced his other living son, and he had been pretty much cut off from the whole family till the point of his death. I think we could learn from that being a hypocrite is never worth it. Being a hypocrite is walking in spiritual darkness, and it could happen to you if you're not walking in the light, if you're not confessing your sin to God, if you're not conquering your sin by the blood of Christ. Let me ask you, young man, how is your integrity today? Are you absolutely faithful to your spouse? Have you told the truth to your parents? Are you being honest with your accountability partner? Are you being loyal to your boss? Are you committed to be consistent with your friends? You may have never had the intentions of just kind of being an outright hypocrite, but if you have been slipping for some time with no remorse and with no repentance and with no restoration, and then your relationship with God and with others that is not honoring to the Lord. The truth is, you have left too much room for hypocrisy to start to dominate your life. In the last show, we talked about being a follower of the darkness, and that follower of darkness are the people who are in the darkness. Verse 6, they say they're in the light, but they are in the darkness. And then verse 8, those who are in deception, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then the last characteristic of the follower of darkness are those who are in defamation. And we got that from you're defaming God, because if you say you've not sinned when God says you have, then you make him to be a liar. And so the word is not in us. And so those were the characteristics we looked at last show, talking about those who are the characteristics of those who are following in the darkness. And so what I want to do today is look at the characteristics of those who are walking in the light. You shouldn't have fellowship with darkness, young man. You should be having fellowship with the light. And so let me give you three characteristics of those who fellowship with the light. Now, remember, again, as we're considering last week and this week, we're trying to give good, hearty approval and affirmation and assurance to true believers. That's the purpose of 1 John. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. And he also at the same time wants to expose the evil deeds of the false teachers. These false teachers were saying that Jesus wasn't really God. And these false teachers were saying they had special knowledge from God to say that it's okay to live in the sin that you're living in, because spiritually you're good, but physically you're bad, because there's some type of separation between the spiritual and the physical. And in that demented way of thinking, they were saying, well, you can be a Christian and you can kind of do both. You can do sow your wild oats and live in sin, but at the same time, you can still somehow be in the light, spiritually speaking. And that's just not true. You got to make a choice. It's either one or the other. It's either heaven or hell. It's either light or darkness. It's either truth or error. And so that's what we're talking about. And so how can we learn what it really means to walk in the light? Well, the first characteristic I want to give you is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And let's just say it's those who are cleansed. The first characteristic of those walking in the light is that they are those who are cleansed. You probably remember this verse, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's really simple here. It's just saying those who walk in the light, they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They're right with God and they're right with each other. And that all happens as they confess their sin, they can be cleansed. I like to think about the cleansing agent being the precious blood of Jesus. And Hebrews even talks about that a little bit as we consider the sacrifice. I mean, it says in Hebrews 10:4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Okay, so we know the animal sacrifices never really accomplished the atonement that you and I need. And then it says a little bit later in Hebrews 10:10 and following, and by that, we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every high priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So what are we talking about? We're talking about, again, you want to walk in the light? You got to be cleansed. You want to be cleansed? You got to have the blood. Is it the blood of bulls and goats? No, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered up his life as a ransom for many. And so that's what verse John 1:7 is talking about when it says, if we walk in the light, part of that could mean if we walk in according with God's word, if we walk in according to God's ways, if we do that, then we have real fellowship with one another. That's what fellowship is. It's sharing Christ together. And this happens by first having fellowship with God. Verse 5, God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. And so if you're in him, you're in light and you're in right relationship. And if you're in right relationship with God, you can also be in right relationship with others. I mean, there's just something precious about being right with God and about being right with others. And I'm just telling you, young man, if you're struggling with hypocrisy, the main reason is likely that you're not very close with God. Your relationship with God is fake. You're not really close to him. You're not in his presence. You're not in his word. Look, I mean, being a Christian means I want to be with God. I want to be in his presence. And so if you are walking in the light, then you'll have fellowship with God. And again, verse 7 says, and then that means you're going to have fellowship with one another. Have you wondered why you don't have good fellowship with others? Have you wondered why you're always at each other's throats, that you're always arguing? There's always consternation and division in your home and with your friends. Well, probably because the truth isn't really out. If the truth is out and you're walking in the light and you're walking with God and you're walking in light with those that are with you, then you're going to experience great fellowship, not only with God, but with those around you. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and I'll have some couple that's really struggling in their marriage. And the wife sometimes has said something to me like, well, I feel close with God and I'm reading my Bible, but my relationship with my husband is awful. And I'm like, well, look, I mean, it could be the husband's fault. I get it. But if your relationship with God is right, your relationship with your spouse should be right. So something might be off. Or maybe even as a teenager living in the home with your parents, if you say, hey, me and God, we're good. I just fight with my parents all the time. Well, something's off. If you really have the right relationship with God and you've really been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, then you should have a good relationship with your mom and dad, which means maybe you need to confess your sin to them. Maybe you need to consider, am I really right with God, walking in the light of God? Because if I'm not doing that, no wonder I don't have good fellowship, meaning I don't want to be with my parents. I don't want to be in the car with them. I don't want to talk with them. I don't want to go to events with them because it's just all fake. I think this is more common than people like to admit in church, where at home they argue and they fight like cats and dogs. And in this family, comes to church and they act like everything's good. And what I'm saying to you, young man, if that's you today, you need to get help. You need to talk to somebody. You need to come to your youth pastor and say, hey, you know what, man, things are not as they should be at home. My parents are arguing, or I'm not in a good place with them. Please help me learn how to walk in the light, because I want to have fellowship with God and I want to have fellowship with those that I live with. And so walking in the light, again, is to be seen as opposed to walking in the darkness. In your everyday life, you got to be walking in light in how you speak, in what your attitude is like, in what you watch on TV, in what you're viewing online, in your conversations. And if you've been cleansed, that ought to impact every area of your life. Guys, I'm just appealing to you today. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be somebody who's faking it. I mean, if Bernie Madoff can fake it for 52 years, I'm sure you're pretty good at faking it for 5 hours, or faking it for 5 days, or faking it for 5 weeks. And I'm just appealing to you, stop living a lie. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. Have you really been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does he own all of your heart and all of your soul and all that you are? Is that evident in how you spend time with him and how you have good fellowship, good connections with those Christians around you, because you guys are walking in the light and seeking to encourage one another? So again, the first characteristic of those who are walking in the light is they've been cleansed. Don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to look at two more characteristics of what it looks like to walk in the light.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. Let me highlight something he said earlier in that first segment. He said something about men being held hostage by what their woman thinks. And this kind of program is probably, that statement's going to make you bristle a little bit. But if you'll sit with it in just a second, it will lead you to conviction, hopefully. Because what Dr. Tyson is not saying is that you should love your wife less. What he's talking about is too many men today drifting because they're waiting for someone else to co-sign on their masculinity, that it's okay to be a leader. Look, if that's you, if you're more afraid of having a conflict than you are of compromising, you're not walking in the light. That's exactly why this podcast exists. That's why Fortis Institute exists. We're not trying to hand out spiritual participation trophies. We're calling men to real accountability. That's what you're going to find every day with Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus just yet, you are missing out. It's completely free, and it's loaded down right now with hundreds of hours of audio and video content that we're adding to every single day, biblical and totally free. There's no paywall. There's no gimmicks. Just voices like Dr. Adam Tyson that cuts through all of the noise and calls you back to the Bible. You can download the app right now wherever you download your apps and do that business at, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And if you're thinking long-term about who you're becoming, the kind of man you're called to be, I also want to point you to the Master's University. That needs to be on your radar as well. TMU is where men like Dr. Tyson and Dr. Greg Gifford are training the next generation of men to lead with conviction. So whether you're interested in theology or counseling or even engineering, it doesn't matter. The Master's University is where academic excellence meets biblical fidelity. You can learn more at masters.edu/manhood. And hey, if Way of Manhood is a part of your weekly routine and Fortis Institute has been sharpening your convictions, also want to ask if you'll stand with us, if you'll partner with us as ongoing monthly gospel partners, because that's what we need in order to continue producing content just like this and giving it away for free as we are. So if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, because that comes first, and you have an ability to join us and link arms with us, then we would ask if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the details right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we've been asking you the question, are you a hypocrite? If you're a hypocrite, you're walking in darkness, and the characteristics of those who are walking in the darkness are sinful. But the good news in the last part of the second part of this two-part series is if you're walking in the light, you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and you have fellowship with God. And that's one characteristic of everybody who's walking in the light is that they have been cleansed. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. That's what 1 John 1:7 says. Let's look at another characteristic of those who have fellowship with the light, and that would be our regularly, get this, they are regularly confessing their sins. That ought to be your habit. That ought to be your daily routine. If you want to walk in the light, remember, you get smudge, you get dirt, you get stuff on you when you sin, and so you got to confess that if you want to stay in the light. And that's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and here it is again, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's just talk for a moment about confession, right? Instead of deceiving yourself, like verse 8 says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Instead of that, you need to do what verse 9 says. We need to be confessing our sin. That word confess, it's a rich word in the original language. In the Greek, it's actually a compound word, homo, which means the same, and then legeo, which means to say. And so homologeo means to say the same thing that God says about your sin. So God calls pornography a sin. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, that you are, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. God calls lying a sin. We are to speak the truth in love to one another, Ephesians chapter 4 says. God says that if you're hiding something, then you're in sin. And so we're calling you out into the light, and we want you to confess it, which means to say the same thing about it that God says about it. What does God say about it? He says sin is sin. And we got to agree with God that when we do something that's sinful, we can't just make excuses. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I was tired. Oh, I didn't realize. No. I sin before God, and let me confess my sin right now. I mean, if we all agree with God, he will show us mercy. That's the good news, right? Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Think about that. We confess, we forsake our way, and when we do that, then we return to the Lord. It says that he will have compassion. That's another word for mercy. God will extend mercy to us, and he will have compassion on us because he is our God, and we are his people. And this verse, Isaiah 55:7, says that he will abundantly pardon. So it doesn't mean you just barely skated through by the skin of your teeth. No. This means there's an abundance of mercy. Now, we're not going to abuse that mercy for sure, right? May we continue to sin that grace may abound. May it never be, Romans 6:1. But we do need to know that don't be sheepish or shy to come to God to confess your sin because you're somehow thinking that he's angry at you to the point that he's going to reluctantly pardon you. That's not what the verse says. It says that he abundantly pardons. Now, again, he knows our hearts, so he knows if we're really forsaking, if we're really confessing our sin, and if we are, again, God is faithful and just. Again, the only way he can be just as that he justifies us. Romans talks about how he's both just and the justifier. And the way that he's the justifier is that Jesus came and paid our price in full. And so God can look at us and say, I forgive you because your sin has been paid for in full on the cross. And so when 1 John 1:9 says that he's faithful, faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins. This is what God does. That's because he's faithful to forgive us when we confess. He's promised to do so. Don't think somehow you can somehow exhaust the mercy of God. God is faithful. He's true to his own character. This is what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 says. It says, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I love that last verse, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we're faithless, lots of times we're struggling, We're trying to be faithful. We fall. We stumble. We sin. And so when we confess it, though, even when we've been faithless, He will remain faithful. He cannot deny Himself, meaning He will forgive every repentant sinner. Young man, Generation Z, let me just ask you, have you ever gone to God in prayer and you asked for forgiveness and He wouldn't offer you forgiveness? Have you ever gone to Him and said, God, I want to confess my sins, and God said to you, I'm sorry, I don't have any more mercy. I don't have any more grace. I don't have any more pardon for you. You've used up your quota. You're all out. You're doomed. You're going to die and go to hell. I mean, that's not what God's word says. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I love that beautiful picture. He doesn't hesitate. You know, when we confess our sins, He is ready and willing to forgive us. You could say it's instantaneous. You know, sometimes somebody will confess sins to someone else and they'll say, well, I want to forgive you, but I can't forgive you right now. As if somehow that's a noble thing to say, well, I have to wait until I'm ready. Listen, forgiveness is something we always got to be ready for. We need to forgive others as we've freely been forgiven in Christ. In every moment that you go without forgiving that person, you're in sin, because God never goes a moment without forgiving your sin. When you confess your sins, He's faithful, meaning right then, He applies the blood of Jesus and He cleanses you when you confess your sin, because He's worthy and He is going to be truthful. And He's going to be faithful. And what is He going to do? He's going to throw our sins as far as the east is from the west. You know how far that is? You start walking east and your friend turns his back to you and starts walking west. You're never going to see each other again unless you walked all the way around the world, right? Because there is no touching of east to west. That's how far He throws our sins. He makes us, the Bible says, white as snow. Though our sins were like scarlet, right? They were crimson, the word I was looking for, like scarlet. He makes us white as snow. He chooses not to remember. You know, you could say, of course God knows everything. Of course He knows what you've done. But He chooses not to remember, meaning He chooses not to place Himself at opposition against you, because His forgiveness is instant. His forgiveness is complete, and His forgiveness lasts forever. And Ephesians 4:32 says, we got to forgive others in Christ just like we've been forgiven. And so that's part of what it means here, that to be walking in the light is that we are confessing our sins, that we're being cleansed of our sins. And there's a third characteristic here of someone who's walking in the light would be is that they are, number three, they're conquering their sins. They're conquering their sins. And I'm getting that from 1 John 1:9 again, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, which means you've conquered your sin through Christ. You've been cleansed. You are no longer considered unrighteous. I mean, you're not doing it, but I'm just saying God's doing it through your confession. And really through your confession, that's how you're overcoming sin. You don't overcome sin by wallowing in it. You don't overcome sin by hiding in it. You don't overcome sin by denying it. You overcome sin by confessing it. So here's what I'm saying. When you confess your sin, you conquer your sin. When you confess your sin openly, then you move to a position where you are now free of your sin. I mean, I had a father many years ago tell me that he taught his son that, hey, son, I just want you to know I love you and I will forgive you, but don't you ever lie to me. And if you ever lie to me, the consequence is going to be twofold. But if you can just confess your sin to me, I will always forgive you. I just want to know what's going on so I can help you. And he told me how he had a beautiful relationship with his son, because his son confessed his sins all the time because he was never afraid. And I like that picture, right? We should never be afraid to confess our sins. We ought to come running. And that's why Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Do you believe that, young man? Do you believe that? Because I think that's keeping a lot of people from confessing their sin, is they're afraid of how God will respond. Well, 1 John tells us exactly about what it looks like to walk in the darkness. And 1 John tells us exactly what it looks like to walk in the light. And it's really all about the grace of God and the power of grace to change your heart and your life and your desires and your actions and your habits. So let me just ask you again, is there a difference in your life? Are you truly walking in the light? Are you walking in any form of hypocrisy in your life? Are you ready today to step out of darkness and to confess your sin? Let me encourage you, stop following the darkness and rather fellowship with the light. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for this session. Thank you for our time together in your word. Thank you for reminding us and teaching us from 1 John chapter 1 that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Help us to learn what that means and help us to come running to you. And I pray that we would have a whole nation of young men, Gen Z men, who are walking in the light of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.